Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Deja View, your favorite view podcast. You just don't know it yet, somewhat. Or maybe you do, as we are quite some episode already, as you know. Otherwise, check out the other episodes as well. Pretty amazing guests. And talk about guests, Michael is not here yet once again because he is on well-deserved paternity leave. Once again, congrats to him for becoming a father. It's pretty amazing and we are looking forward to have him here soon again. But nevertheless, I'm joined today by another amazing guest. He's a public speaker. He is an open sourcer and also part of the Nuxt.js team. Welcome, Julian Huang. Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm quite good. I was working, so just doing some PRs.
Yeah, fair. Working in your day job.
In my day job, exactly.
Yes. So do you want to share with the audience, what are you doing in your day job? What's your task usually? What are you using?
Yep. So in my day job, I'm a front-end developer at Litchi in France. So we're basically we just have a website that does money pots, you know, for solidarity events and private events. And so as a front-end developer, I'm mainly working, so I'm not part of the front-end team, but more like on the back office.
Okay, I understand. Yes. Yeah. And there you, like, you work also together with the back office team there, and you have like the front end and solely your responsibility, or how is the structure there?
So yeah, I'm mainly working on the front end part of the back office at Litchi. And I just like working with the project owner that we just decide on tasks we need to do for the next sprint. And during like 2 weeks, I just do open PRs and work on the code.
Nice. And so what's the tech stack what you're using over at Litchi for the back office?
For the back office and front office, we're obviously using Nuxt on front end.
What a surprise.
What a surprise, yeah.
Sweet. And I guess you're kind of okay with using it. Yeah, could be worse, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why. I think like Nuxt is a very good tech stack for front end, especially for me. I don't know why. There's maybe a small idea.
Great. But then before we get into all the details there, maybe let's go a little bit back in history. So Julian, how long are you programming, like roughly now?
So I began learning how to code post-COVID, during COVID actually, because I lost my previous job. I was working in an airport, and like, you know,
no flights anymore.
Closed.
Yeah. That means you started learning how to code around 2020, 2021, something like that.
Yeah, in May 2020, I think. Yeah, wow. In May 2020.
Crazy. And I mean, now you're here, like in almost 4 years later, you're doing all these amazing things. Like as mentioned in the intro, you're doing public speaking at meetups, at big conferences like Vue.js Amsterdam, which we'll also talk about in a future episode, actually. A little spoiler ahead here. And you're also part of the Nuxt team. So that all really evolved pretty fast. And it's amazing to see. I mean, COVID seems hopefully super far distant, but 4 years is almost nothing.
Yeah, especially for a developer, I guess. Even all my colleagues are surprised. Even I am surprised of how everything moved so fast since I started to learn. But it was honestly like pure grind. I could spend maybe 10 to 12 hours just learning a whole day. Sometimes even more, like spending maybe just sleeping, waking up,
coding
on, opening my laptop or my PC and writing code.
Wow. I mean, yeah, during COVID, I guess the things to do were a bit limited as well. So that in a way helped speeding the process because like, okay, I can do that. No other responsibilities. Let's go for it. But like, how did you start learning to program, let's say? Because, okay, you fell out. Programming seems to be a good idea, very much in demand, interesting, and I guess you also like it somewhat, but how did you start like learning the basics?
Okay, so I have some friends, so from back in high school and even like in media school, they went, so we chose a different path when we were in university. I chose like to learn foreign languages and they chose to go on an engineer path. So I basically just asked them what I could do.
Okay, smart.
And yes, yeah. So they gave me the advice, why don't you try development? And it was probably the best advice in like my whole life.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that must be pretty life-changing as well.
Yeah, so, exactly. I don't know what my life would be if I didn't choose programming.
It's same, actually. Yeah, it's sometimes it's so interesting how these career changes or like these decisions really are key points in life. And you just said you learned four languages in university. So besides JavaScript and TypeScript now on the list, which other foreign languages did you learn or you speak? I'm curious now.
So, yeah, so English, my main language. There was Chinese and German.
Really? Okay.
So,
then
yeah.
We will have a little after talk then in German.
So, yeah, but like I only remember probably one sentence.
Oh, that's better than none. That's good. That's good. Sweet. And yeah, then like after your friends that weren't into engineering said, hey, development sounds good. Then did they also like point you into web development straight away?
I don't really remember, but yeah, I think they told me about web development.
Perfect. Yeah. Then you started in and were like, hey, that's cool. You can do things. You don't need much except ideas and laptop and some time. And you got going.
Yeah.
And so you started learning HTML, CSS, and JavaScript first, I suppose?
Yeah. So I followed an online course. So in France, we have like company or a school, which is called Open Classroom.
Oh, okay. I heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I just took a few lessons on Open Classrooms. And so that's how I started to learn HTML, CSS, and then JavaScript.
Sweet. And I guess then at some point, the difficult question came up of which framework to use. Because for everybody, like using vanilla JavaScript every now and then, I like to do that in workshops. And it's like, hey, let's build a to-do list after learning all DOM operations. It's maybe not necessarily the most scalable thing straight away. So yeah, how did it come that you choose Vue, I suppose?
Actually, no.
Oh, no. Plot twist.
So Vue was the last one. I started with Angular, I think, but I gave up pretty much quickly because it was really hard. I think like the fact that you have to learn a new framework and TypeScript, and the whole how the decorators work,
yeah,
it's very complicated. Then I went to try React, but yeah, I don't know, I just didn't like it.
But did you try it longer than Angular, or was React a quicker out there?
Oh no, I did try longer because I even went to after in my first job, I even used React Native. But for pure web, I don't know. I didn't have the feeling I had with Vue.
And then
it wasn't the same feeling, you know.
You mean like
a small sparkle?
It was like, was it less? Let's say it didn't click that well. Or
no, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it's more about the mental model. Yeah, I see.
Yep.
That makes sense. And then eventually you came to Vue after not being that happy with Angular, moving away from OOP decorators, straight away TypeScript, and then React. You found Vue. And what happened then?
Yeah, so I followed another online course on Udemy. And my first thought that was like, why is it so easy? Like, everything made sense, especially with SFC. And this is probably what was missing on Angular and React. Well, no, Angular also have SFC now, thanks to Vite.
And analog as well, yeah. I remember Brandon Roberts pushing that more and more, and people tend to like it more and more, which is great. So SFC's really made a click for you, mainly, I guess, because it's like really, okay, you have HTML and JavaScript and CSS, and that's all in one component. You don't need like multiple files for it and don't have to juggle around with JSX.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very easy to understand for like everyone, anyone, honestly, like from juniors to seniors. Even like on my current job, I have a backend developer and he also thinks that Vue is very easy to understand.
Perfect. I mean, if even backend developer that are not that much into frontend say that, that's always a good scenario.
It's a win, yeah.
And I also agree. I remember when I started learning Vue, it was the same idea. Like I came from Laravel back then, PHP and so on. And I was like not too crazy into JavaScript, but it felt really easy compared to React. For me, it clicked and well, here we are now. Lovely. So then you learned Vue. And you used it to build certain things. And how did you then tap into open source? How did that start in your journey?
So for my journey into open source, it was at my first job. I had the chance to do some, research and development for a new product. At that time, we were doing it in Vue. Then moving on to Nuxt 2. I think it was like 2 years ago. Nuxt 3 was probably not even in RC. And so I wanted to just try it out by moving the project to Nuxt 3. My first issue was open due to a missing feature. So we couldn't like configure which bundle of Vue Nuxt will use.
So you mean the runtime bundler with like the template compiler, the runtime template compiler, or like the optimized one without a compiler, I guess?
Yeah, so I wanted to have the runtime, the bundle with the runtime compiler.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't possible, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't possible yet. And that's how I started to dig into the whole source code of Nuxt and then Nitro, wow. Because I had also to open, I think, one or two PR to Nitro to allow some more configurations.
So, and then you opened that issue about the right, like different Vue bundle, and you dug into the source code. And did you send eventually a PR to solve it or like to have an idea, or did someone else close the issue eventually?
Oh, no. So I opened the issue. I don't really remember, but I think Puya. Maybe Daniel was the first to reply, and then Puya also replied. But they were both so welcoming, so kind. So I just wanted to do it. So I opened a few PRs, and the actual PR to add, it at first it was in experimental. So experimental.vue runtime, I think, or Vue compiler.
Yeah.
That PR was open for, I think, for 6-7 months.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
And
yeah.
In the meantime, I created my first open source package, which was called Nuxt Runtime Compiler.
I see.
Just change your configuration, because I think also we had some issues on Nuxt 2, which you had to set all aliases. All possible aliases for Vue to the runtime bundle.
That makes sense, yeah. And that package would have fixed it. And I mean, that goes pretty much in line what's recommended to say that, okay, let's raise an issue. And if it's possible to implement it as a module, either as a proof of concept or like to something just to show, hey, this is possible. It should be nice to be in the core, but here it's working already. I think that's always a good way to go. Similar what Puya did with the build cache module. And if anyone in your audience didn't hear about that, link to the video and to the modules, and of course in the show notes. So I really like to see, first of all, that you were welcomed so nicely in the community, and then that you just straight away said like, yeah, let's do it. Let's open the PR and also just straight away publish an NPM package solving that for people. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and when you answer in an issue, you answer it. You don't talk, so people cannot know what tone you're using.
Yeah, that's true.
But Daniel and Puya are so good at answering, like maybe it's from pure experience. The way they write the answer just make you feel welcomed and gives you the motivation to dig into the issue.
Yeah, I second it. I also remember that very clearly back in time when I joined the core team in 2018. Puya and also Sebastian were like all straight away like, oh yeah, so cool. And Yeah, I just got into contact. But so it's really cool that you like joined open source, started open source journey with Nuxt itself back in the time. And I mean, now you're here and you're part of the core team. So do you like briefly have in mind like how long it took you from your first open source contribution to join the core team? Just like rough estimate?
Maybe 1 year and almost 2 years, I think.
I mean, that's not much time.
1 year and a half.
Yeah, that's pretty fast, given like your first ever open source contribution, which was also pretty fast after you learned to program. So this is really like a crazy speed. And yeah, it's amazing. It's really amazing to see. I mean, I know you joined the Nuxt Insiders before, which is a group of people that basically keep up to date what they're doing, like library authors, of course, people of the framework and team, the broader community. So you joined a team, and probably the people who have heard of you, they have a certain feature in mind when they hear the name Julian Huang or see your image on GitHub commenting somewhere. And for everybody who's not aware of that, Julian, you might want to tell us what that certain feature is.
Yeah, so usually I was working on server components and Nuxt Island in the Nuxt core repository. Usually we have the office hours, and each time everyone's asked a question, you'll probably see my name pop up on the scene.
Yes, exactly. And the office hours is also really, really fun. Like every 2 weeks on Wednesday in the Nuxt Discord, just a casual chat, no recording, just an hour of Q&A, checking in. That's really cool. So you said server components or server islands. Could you briefly run down what that exactly is? I mean, we both know, of course, we talked about it quite some time, but just to give a really easy version, what that means, like just what it is and then what it means for people.
Okay, so short version is server components are components that are only rendered server side, and you don't import any JavaScript for it to render it in your browser. It means that, well, it's a bit lighter. And of course, you don't have any interactivity.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's really just like, here's the HTML, Vue just inserts it, and that's it.
That's it. Of course, there's a bit more features, but yeah, we will probably talk about it.
Oh, exactly, yeah. So I mean, this sounds pretty cool if you say, okay, you have a certain part of your website that doesn't need interactivity. So we can just like, okay, this is a server component. We somehow, we'll come to that in a second, set it up as a server component and use that. But when exactly would you recommend people to use these server components? Are there like cases where it's like, oh yeah, that's perfect, you should always use a server component here, or maybe here and there that could be worth it depending on what you're doing? Are there like any rules of thumb where you say, that's it?
I don't think you should use server components for everything. Because first, the way how they work is that we create a whole new Nuxt app, not Nuxt app, but Nuxt instance and Vue instance for each server component. So it means that it can be heavy on your server, of course. Then also try to avoid hype-driven development. Don't do it because it's new or everyone is doing it. You have always to think about pros and cons when using a new feature. So for your current question would be like, I would use it for things like CMS, like whole static portions of your application. You know, it's only to like render a thing that your user cannot interact with it. The most easy example would be a CMS that stores your like maybe HTML in a database, like some old WordPress thing, and you can retrieve it, then render it. You can also access to any server-side stuff like private config, private runtime config, without like being worried to leak it, because everything runs server-side. Of course, you don't have to put it into the HTML, but you can use it to do operations, maybe an API call. I don't know, maybe. So that's some easy example, I would say.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. First, let's circle back. Hype-driven development, I also get that. Like, I think it's really nice to play around with new features, but when actually choosing them for a production-level application, then, of course, consider why you would need it, what the benefits and also, of course, also the downsides are. So I'm fully there with you, Julian. And with the examples, yeah, you just said, okay, the typical like CMS, let's have some, let's say, HTML stored, and it would just like be a long blog of different nodes. Then you say this would make sense to just be running a server component. Okay, and what if I say, yeah, there are some, I don't know, some links in there in that HTML, or I want to have, I have a big component, rendering some other components. You just said there is no interactivity possible because there is no JavaScript, right? It's all coming from the server side, and there is no JavaScript included, so just the HTML. So how does that turn out?
Like, if you want to use links in your server components, at the beginning, we didn't have any possibility to make it interactive. I think Daniel made a plugin to like do a workaround, basically just catching every single link and linking it to the current router of your main application. And we have a new, maybe directive, I don't know how to call it. It's not V-something. It's called Nux client. So you just have to put Nux client as an attribute or prop of any actual component, and once client side, Nux will simply import the chunk and render your component like any normal component and make it interactive. It means that you can, for example, set Nux client on a Nux link within a server component and have it interactive client side.
Okay, so you basically have, let's say, interactive islands inside server components once again.
Yeah, so you have your main application interactive. Inside, you have an interactive and non-interactive island. And inside your non-interactive island, you can have some interactivity.
And can you have like another non-interactive like server island in that interactive part again? Like, can we recursively do that again and again and again?
It would be technically possible. I'm not sure if the performance will be good, but it's technically possible. I don't know. I also don't know if the hydration would work correctly. But I guess probably because of suspense. But yeah, it's possible. I just don't recommend it.
It just, yeah, there's a yes and a big but there. Yeah. Okay. I see. And that sounds good. And let's say you have a server component and you said there's no interactivity, but what if I want a server component that has some properties? So let's say I have my like CMS renderer server component or like server island there. And I want to make sure that I can give it through props like certain HTML to render, or I don't know, want to change a version of that. Is that still possible, or are server components like fully stateless and they can only render like one thing?
So a server component is, by definition, isolated from your main Nux application. You have only one way to pass additional data. It would be by props. We just have like a small limitation, is that you cannot pass too much props because they are stringified into queries. And then, yeah, you know, it's the, I don't remember the HTTP code, maybe 431.
UL too long. Yeah, I see. Okay, so, but that means you can have server components that can have props. And what if you change a property? Like, let's say, okay, you run a server component and then you have a button that changes the property because, well, reactivity still works in Vue, as I assume. What happens then with the server component?
So server components are basically Nux islands, which is a runtime component present in server side and client side. So the way you if you pass any data to your to Nuxt Island, it will be reactive. So if you have, for example, send a put down a prop or changed the name of the Nuxt Island, it will refetch the island to your server and then will render your component client side. Of course, since it has to make another fetch request, it will not be instant. That's why you don't do server comments for like very interactive components.
Because of like the big delay in between because of the API calls again, or like fetch calls again.
Yep.
And I think now you just said two important things. So first of all, reactivity still works, even though it's a server component, there's no JavaScript coming. It can still be refetched based on the reactivity of the data, right?
Yeah, so the way Nuxt Island is the runtime command, and it returns a static vnode, which is what has been rendered by the server. So you have like your main app, then the component Nuxt Island, which will change what's the static vnode based on what has been returned by the server. So everything between your main app and Nuxt Island is interactive. So if you change maybe a prop, Nuxt Island will just render.
And the new call to the server, getting the new like HTML to insert from the server there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except if like, so Nuxt Island fetch your component and it will cache it. If Nuxt Island has already a cache version of your components for some name, for a specific name and specific props, it will just retrieve it from your payload.
Okay, so can you just reuse it then if it's already there with like a given name in it, it's the same name as before, like two calls before, it would just reuse it?
Yeah, it's to avoid like having multiple fetch requests.
That makes sense, yeah. And you already mentioned, so we go into the Nuxt Island component in a bit, but we just fetching. So maybe let's paint a big picture again, because we talked about Nuxt server components and that they come from the server. Now we talked about reactivity, so that they can actually be refetched somehow. So maybe let's make it clear one more time. How do server components work after the initial rendering? Because during the initial render, of course, it will be just your server application, like application will be server side rendered, right? But what happens on the client side? Say you go from slash A to slash B, you have a typical SPA, and on slash B, there's a server component. So how will that be handled?
Probably like any normal component.
Okay, so but there's no JavaScript, right? So what will happen, like what will be fetched from where? How does that work?
So Nuxt Island, when it has to render for the first time, it will make a fetch request, let's say client-side. It will make a fetch request to your Nuxt server at a specific endpoint. So we have like a reserved endpoint for Nuxt Island, which starts by /Nuxt_Islands/ I don't remember well, but should be the name of your component and all the context, which means the props, which has to be passed down to the island component. Then it will receive the response and simply return. So the response will have the HTML part, the HTML rendering of your server components. What else? And that's probably everything, I guess. Everything required, at least. And then just return the content in as a static vnode.
And then from there on, it goes as before. Yeah, okay. So the good part is, even though you're in an SPA, and I presume even if you use Nuxt with service that rendering false, then you could still use Nuxt server components because they only depend on the Nuxt and Nitro instance being available and giving you the server components, not necessarily on running server-side rendering, right?
So I'm not sure about SSR. We probably had, we had an issue about that and it got fixed. You're not required to have SSR true to use islands.
Nice. But that also means that we talked about the Nuxt and Nitro server very often. that wouldn't work if the Nuxt Nitro server is not available, because then the request will go into nowhere, I assume.
Yeah, exactly. So if your server is not available, it will have an error. And Nuxt Island will emit an event. We also expose an error reactive object. So you have multiple ways to handle Nuxt Island errors, to maybe show something else.
Mm-hmm, like, hey, this went wrong. Try again later.
The classic.
I see. But and what is about static site generation? Like, can I statically... That also seemed like an interesting case, but then, yeah, how does that work, if that works?
Oh, it works. So Daniel made an incredible job about it, because I don't usually work with SSG. And with server components, with SSG, I mean, server components still works at build time, so at generation time. We will generate the, well, you will make a request to the, to your like local server. So because like Nuxt is rendering each page to generate the HTML, and we still need to have a server that runs. And at that time, if you have a server component, it will make a fetch request to your own server and retrieve it as a payload. So the server will generate a JSON payload to, so you can have it as a static file.
Okay, and that is then just delivered as JSON to your CDN and whatever, I guess?
Yeah, so it will be available as a static file. It means that it will only work with the initial state of the server component. If you change like some prop, of course the static file will not be available, so you will have an error.
Unless you generated exactly that static file with that combination of component name and prop on, let's say, another page.
Yeah, but it's, I think it's pretty rare.
Well, unless you build it like that. Yeah, like, I mean, you could also provide for like the routes array, say like, hey, I want to pre-render that server component with these 10 prop presets, and I guess then you're good to go. Interesting. So we have server components that are detached from server-side rendering, still work with SSG, and even if you would disable SSR, that's pretty amazing. But then I wonder, now that we have all that, it's still under experimental. So to enable it, we have to set like experimental and then I think component islands to true. Or nowadays, if you just start a .server.view component, it will be enabled, I think, by default. Nuxt will do that for us. So why is it still under experimental? What does that mean?
So what's currently not experimental is like nothing, I guess. So everything is experimental. And you don't need to enable experimental.componentIslands to true to have server components. We Nuxt will detect the if you use any island or server components in your Nuxt app and enable it automatically with the like basic features. Mm-hmm. So it means that you don't have Nuxt clients in your server components. And it's still experimental because the API may change in the future. It has changed multiple times because we still haven't found not a good API, but like I would say a stable one. Everything can change within it, like internals. Also, we have remote islands, so which is the capability to call another server to render, not of course not components. You can do it, but like static HTML, and they will be relying on some types we are using internally at Nuxt for Nuxt Island, especially the response type, which can change. So these are yet still experimental. I don't know when they will move out from experimental state, but probably not in the following month.
Yeah, so like with Nuxt 4, maybe at some point after Nuxt 4 release, that could happen. But yeah, we'll see. And now you mentioned the remote islands. So if I understand correctly, this is a great feature. So you can actually get remote content, which could be another Nuxt application serving like server components or technically anything else. So how does that work?
So, you know, Nuxt Island make fetch requests, right?
Yes, correct.
It means that you can basically make a fetch request to another server. So you just have to pass down
anything. A new prop. Yeah. That's a good point.
So you just have to pass down a new prop called source to Nuxt Island. So it's something only available with the Nuxt Island component. We don't do it with server components because server components are your own component. So you cannot retrieve it from another server. So Nuxt Island will get the source prop and call the, another server with that one, with that, well, that prop.
And that works already. That you just have to set something in the config, I assume, right? Because by default, it could also sound like a little bit dangerous.
Yeah, by default is disabled. It's still another configuration within the experimental namespace. So you have to enable, I think it's experimental components island dot remote or dot remote. Oh, I forgot the name, but yeah, there's a configuration.
Remote
for that.
Source or something, yeah?
Remote source, maybe, yeah.
And yeah, I also don't remember, but TypeScript will give it to us.
Yeah, thank you, TypeScript. And once you get it, once you enable it, you will be able to use it. It doesn't have to be a Nuxt server. You can also do it with basically anything that returns you a JSON response. It has to satisfy the Nuxt Island response type, which means it has to have an HTML property that contains what has to be rendered. And then you can use it.
And that's the hard requirement, basically. Okay, I see. Interesting. But that also goes in line with what you said of, okay, what if the types change and it's not called HTML anymore, but differently, then also the remote islands would have to update their format because, well, otherwise it wouldn't work anymore.
Yeah, that's why it's still experimental. We're still looking for how to make it stable and the best API possible.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, we also, in the end, everybody appreciates stable server components, and that might take some time, but you can already use it right now in your Nuxt application. I guess just make sure to pin the version, not that you accidentally update and then things break and you don't know why.
Oh, also, small fun fact. I think you can also use client components with remote server. So,
really?
Yeah, just don't do it. It's behind, just don't do it. You can, but I don't recommend.
That makes sense.
Because you import external JavaScript, so within your own application.
Sounds risky. Then, yeah. Fun to experiment with, but don't do it in production, guys. And so we talked a lot about what server components are, how to use them, what benefits they bring. Let's aim a little bit off the future. So do you personally have a certain future for server components in mind? Do you think like that could be something that's used more in applications, or do you think there will be more of a you use it when you need it case?
Oh, yeah, it's always you use it when you need it. Why use it when you don't need it? After all, there's always pros and cons when you use like some new tech or even old tech. And I don't recommend people using too much island. First, because like we had an example, I think, so maybe Justin from PrimeView, I have to confirm it. I think had an issue with island component because there was so many island components within a single page that the first render took a really long time to the server took a really long time to render the response. because you have the island component and a Markdown renderer behind it. So each island was using the Markdown renderer. And if you end up like maybe with 10, 20, 100 requests at the same time.
Poor server.
Yeah.
I see. But I guess there are also ways to optimize that, right? To say like, okay, let's have a single Markdown render or to pre-render all these information so you could still get a performant website out of it.
I guess I'm currently looking into ways to optimize it. I didn't had a lot of findings, but maybe having a singleton, maybe not a good idea. But to make the Vue and Nuxt app instance more performant for Island. And yeah, it would be quite hard to do it, I guess, but we also have other contributors, amazing contributors who are working everywhere on Nuxt.
So it's also your chance to contribute, dear. Get involved, and maybe you will also start open source with Nuxt.js. Be welcomed by any of us, the core team, or other people contributing, and we'll have a good time. So definitely recommend it. Contribution guide is linked in the show notes as well. And one more thing I was wondering about is, I mean, the main goal of server components is to reduce JavaScript send to avoid hydration there as well. Like then you don't have to go through all the DOM nodes because okay, that's static, it's sent over, it's fine. And probably also to move the CPU heavy tasks maybe more on the server than on the client. But do you think there is a future where maybe Nuxt would go like, hey, the whole Nuxt app is a server component, and then we only have small little interactive pieces. So think of an Astro for Nuxt, because right now it's the other way around, right? We have clients only thing, or like we have a client based system. It's server rendered, of course, but everything is interactive by default. And then we have static islands. So what do you think about the whole thing the other way around?
So the other way around, so Nuxt, Astro and Nuxt work differently. In Nuxt, you have a single Nuxt instance for your whole app. And then for each island component, you will have another, so an independent Nuxt instance. While in Astro, they render the whole application, and then you hydrate parts of it client side. It means that every component on their side, they are not independent. They are in their main instance, where Nuxt is completely isolated. We currently have server pages in Nuxt, so you can already use it. And so you don't need to enable any additional flag in experimental. You can just create a .server.vue component in your page directory, and it will just work.
And then the whole page is rendered as a server component.
So yeah, you will still have your main app, the layout, and then inside you will have a Nuxt island that will make a request to Nuxt and render your whole page.
So that's pretty close already to that. We still need a bit of JavaScript to boot up like Vue and Nuxt, but everything beyond that can be, if the page makes sense, right? Server rendered with maybe a little interactive Nuxt link here and there, or a Nuxt image, or a button for a modal and whatnot.
Yeah, everything will work, especially when you can mix it with Nuxt clients. So you can make like small parts of your page interactive.
So we're in a way, even though Astro and Nuxt work differently, fundamentally differently, we're still getting close to getting like, let's say, an Astro-like behavior with lots of things not being interactive by default, and thus we don't need to hydrate and to spend all extra JavaScript in Nuxt itself.
Yeah, it's different. The idea is close, but the way they work internally is different.
Absolutely, that makes sense. But I mean, it's still nice to see that we have something that's, while internally under the hood differently, it's comparable from an experience or like from what we want to achieve, which is less JavaScript, of course, if we don't need it. Nice. And maybe one question for to slowly wrap it up, but it's one let's say one inter-framework question. You probably also noticed React going a bit like server first, with React server components built into React itself, saying React shouldn't be used without the framework anymore, and so on. So on frameworks implementing server components like Remix, like Next.js, TenStack Start in the future too. So what do you think about that approach versus Vue's approach? And Evan there said, for example, that Vue is not going that way of including server components as like a first class citizen in Vue itself, and that these explorations should rather be in the meta framework. So next, what we're doing. What do you think about that?
So I don't have that much experience in web development. So as we talked about it in the beginning, I only have like 4 years of experience as a developer. But my personal opinion is that, so React was made first for client-side rendering only. Then they moved to server-side only, which is quite weird for me because like JavaScript was made for browsers. And then you start to move your whole framework to server side. I kind of agree with what Evan said. And I'm good with Vue staying client side first and maybe having some like additional features for server side, which should be brought by Vue SSR. At least not from Vue Core, but from another package. And yeah, I don't think Vue will go to server-side first in the future.
Probably not, yeah. But it's I also think that's a good point here, especially because I think lots of people nowadays use Vue still as like a drop-in with a good old script tag and just using them on maybe a Laravel or Django and so on rendered page, or just to say like, hey, let's replace jQuery. And saying that you can't use Vue easily as just like a simple CDN a link to pull in and then write your components might also upset quite some users, because that's a main use case. Even if we all build our things with Vue and Next only, there are so many people who don't.
And Vue is still labeled as progressive. So yeah, you have to start by script. And I remember working with Inertia.js and Vue. And that was like an amazing experience on Laravel.
True. Also there, shout out to Jonathan Reining and team. Laravel and Inertia, it's a really fun experience. Especially if I definitely agree. And I'm super curious what the next things will bring, what the future will bring after Next 4 at some point. And of course, this will also be a topic for the future. With a special guest on the podcast, but more closer to the release date, probably. Nevertheless, a last question for you, Julian. Where can people follow you? Anything you want to share with the people for the end of the episode? Any last words, so to say?
Yeah, so I'm available on, of course, GitHub, on the Next Discord. So I think it would be... Yeah, my should be my name and my first name and last name, and also on Twitter. I'm not going to say the new name. It's too weird.
Okay, great. Yes, the links, of course, to all of Julian's socials, to the Next Discord, and so on, are in the show notes as usual. And yeah, anything else besides where people can follow you? Any mentions? Any shoutouts? Anything else?
Well, of course, to the whole Next core team. I don't think we... I think that with them, I learned a lot. My progression path has skyrocketed since like a whole year. Also to the whole community, which I had the joy to work with. Many people who has much more experience than me teaching me things. And yeah, shout out to the whole, yeah, to everyone basically who has helped me to learn so much.
Yeah, I can only second that. I think open source is, once again, it's a great example of how people can grow with open source. And I also never had like a formal like supervisor, let's say, and open source really, really helped with that, becoming a better developer. So yeah, last words for me is thank you, Julian. Thank you for joining for this wonderful Deja Vu episode. I'm more than sure you will come back when there is some more news about Server Component or maybe other interesting topics. So yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Tune in next week again with yet another episode. Take a look or also listen the other episodes before, and then see you next time, folks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.